Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A recap of the biggest stories of the morning with John and Hugh.
Crazy. Get up. On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh. Hugh at BigHugh53, at John Fricke on Twitter. And, of course, with Abe and Oren on this Thursday morning with MLS back and the Braves doing inter-squad games and all that kind of goodness. We'll get into a lot of fun stuff in the 6 o'clock hour, including some of the headlines that Oren likes to dig up in what we call the morning mashup. Morning to you, Oren. What up?
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing today?
Awesome.
My mom, I'm a good Catholic boy, I guess, and went to Catholic school and Catholic church. And my mom, as a Christmas gift every year to the most recent priest that we had, she would get him a handle of Maker's Mark.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, priests, they're
people too.
They are people too. They enjoy. A buddy of mine got married, and the priest was at the reception, and he was down and back. Jameson's down and back whiskey,
he has a good, good taste, because Maker's Mark is pretty good. You know, Jameson is.
But it was
funny. Like,
he gave him explicit instructions in the church. You're not supposed to drink before the ceremony. The priest tells you very explicitly, if I find out you were drinking before the ceremony, I'm calling the whole thing off. We can't do it. So go ahead and save it for the reception and just drink double now.
Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. So nice, just like, go ahead and don't drink now. You have a reception that's going to be full of alcohol. So go ahead and get your party on then. But before then, you can't do it before then. You just can't do it before then.
Well, that is MASH, right? Morning mashup, story number one.
All right. We have quite a few NFL stories here today, guys. We're going to start in the association with my boy J.J. Watt for the Houston Texans. J.J. said in a conference call yesterday, talked about how they don't quite know where the league is yet with testing protocols and safety and health protocols. But he also was on the NFL Network yesterday with Willie McGinnis, and he talked about just how important those preseason games are, even from a health and safety standpoint. Not having them, they do still matter to a couple of people.
When I look at the flip side of that coin, the thing I think about is undrafted free agents. I think about guys who are making the team in that fourth preseason game. I think about guys who made their break through preseason games and literally changed their life because they got that opportunity. So I feel for guys that may miss out on that opportunity to change their life if we miss out on preseason games. But at the same time, you have to weigh the health and safety aspects, whether that's traveling to another city to play a game, whether that's the actual effects of playing the game. So that's kind of what we're weighing right now as players, is you have those guys that you know really, really need those games and thrive on those games. And then you also have the health and safety aspect of everybody in the league that we want to make sure we protect.
He's not lying. I mean, you're talking about a lot of guys, you know, special teams is where a lot of young players make their bones initially. And then, you know, you work your way up, especially when you're talking about guys that potentially could be in number crunches or being at a position where it's really, really thick and the coaches like them. But for whatever reason, they can't play him right away. So, yeah, he's not lying about that, man. It's unfortunate. But right now, like I said, and like we were talking about, adjustments have to be made, John and Oren. It is what it is. And it's unfortunate that this year is going to be like that. But that's what we're talking about. Adjustments have to be made.
One of my takeaways from what J.J. said was he was talking about the fourth preseason game. That's a nice sentiment because I honestly believe, as we sit here today, we will never see another team play a four-game preseason. I think the beginning next year, what you'll get to, you know, in the new normal here at the NFL, two preseason games and a 17-game regular season going to happen. The owners are going to say that they're going to immediately put that into play because they need that 17th game because they want the revenue to make up for the COVID games that they missed or whatever, the fans and this and that. So I don't think you'll ever see four preseason games again.
That's a whole lot to digest right now with everything being up in the air. But, I mean, I hear you.
Yeah, I know that's jumping way ahead. But, okay. Morning matchup story number two.
All righty. We'll stay in the association here. Tony Gonzalez making the rounds yesterday. Former Falcon, former Chief, Hall of Famer. He played with a very good quarterback here in Atlanta in Matt Ryan. But he also is talking right now, right here, about another quarterback that played in New England in Tom Brady. And he talked about the fact that New England was so good for so very long was the fact that Brady preferred the money over the legacy.
I always say this, though. His first deal, meaning not besides his rookie deal, that first big bite at the apple, you got to go for everything. You got to get as much money as you can. I like this deal because I was going to be cap friendly over the next 2-3 years. I say Tom has left at least $100 million throughout his career. He said, hey, I'd rather have the Super Bowl rings and be considered the greatest quarterback of all time than have that extra $100 million, where a lot of players won't do that. It just comes down to the individual player and what they want their legacy to be after they're gone, and how much is enough.
I would agree with that. I think Tom Brady has kept the cap-friendly deals that he's taken has done two things. It has hindered the growth of the quarterback's money position, but it's also put him in a position where he has been able to keep his team relevant and keep them competitive. You know, I said this before, when you talk about teams that have had the most success or have had success, it's the ones that don't have to spend a ton of money on quarterbacks and spend a lot of money at that position. You talk about Jared Goff and the Rams the year that they went. He was under a deal where he wasn't making a whole lot of money. Now, when you see him making all the money, it's tougher for them to field a competitive team. Tom Brady knew that, and his legacy shows that. You know, you're talking about all the Super Bowls they went to and that they won. Yeah, I mean, it's a sacrifice, but from what I'm hearing, and I think that he's referencing, you know, the Patrick Mahomes deal or whatever. I think from what I'm hearing, the deal that Patrick Mahomes did is set up and structured in a way that is still going to help the Kansas City Chiefs be competitive.
The next 2 years are very, very cap friendly.
Yeah, it's going to help them, and I think that's how they're looking at it, because they're right. You're right. Like when you, it was funny. Somebody, who was it? I can't remember the camaraderie, but anyway, he put up a meme yesterday or a video of guys that were gonna fill out the Kansas City Chiefs roster. One guy was running a 40, and he was running super slow. I mean, but that's the reality of it. When you pay a quarterback that kind of money, that's potentially what you're looking at. You're looking at setting your team back a little bit. But hopefully, that's not gonna be the case, and that's not the case for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, maybe every star quarterback could be so fortunate as to marry a woman who has more money than him.
Well, I mean, that too. But, I'm going to go ahead and leave that one alone.
Yeah. Morning matchup story number three.
All righty, Hugh Douglas. We're going to rewind a little bit for you here. We're going to take it back to what year was that? The year you signed with Jacksonville. You got a pretty good deal from down there in Jacksonville. It didn't exactly go the way that you would have hoped down there. Ended back in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Got a story that came out yesterday I'm going to talk about here a little bit. D'Angelo Hall. D'Angelo Hall had a chance in 2009, after he finished up playing with Washington, to sign with the New England Patriots. Decided not to. He wasn't going to do that. Wasn't going to do that at all. Got a long-term deal, got to pay a whole lot of money, and kind of went his own way. The Patriots went their way. D'Angelo went his way. D'Angelo ended up as one of the wealthiest, I guess, highest-paid cornerbacks in league history, made close to $80 million for his on-the-field play. He's calling that a mistake now. He's saying, you know what? Maybe I shouldn't have been, in his words, I shouldn't have been as greedy as I was and taking all that money from Washington, and I should have taken a deal to go play in New England. He says, in my own contract discussions with the Pats, I recall Bill Belichick telling me they couldn't give me the contract Moss signed. Being young and greedy knucklehead, I chose to stay in Washington, which ultimately had me making the same per year salary as Randy Moss. Over a few million, I could have changed my legacy by being a part of that dynasty.
A few million.
Over a few million. So
that's a tough spot, Orin. And you know what? I've said that because I had a chance to go to the Kansas City Chiefs and play for. It was up between the Chiefs and it was between the Jacksonville Jaguars. And the only reason why I went to the Chiefs, Jaguars, is because the Chiefs didn't want to give me my money up front. I wanted the money up front. I mean, yeah, it's one of those things that you think about when you get older, but let's be honest, and I'm going to be 1,000 with you. I'm still taking the money. I mean, even though I hear what he's saying, listen, you're talking about cash in hand, and that's a tough decision to make. And I know when you're young, you're older, you think about things differently, but boy, don't none be cash in hand. Like, that's a tough one. I understand it. And, you know, there's a lot of guys that are the better men than me that have made that decision and have been happy with it. But thinking back on that, yeah, I'm gonna take that cash. I'm straight cash in that.
He wasn't being greedy either. I think he's boy. I would sit down and say, D'Angelo, you're not being greedy. You're negotiating the best deal for you. That's not greed. That's just the marketplace. And you did what I mean.
I mean, but you know, when you get older and you start thinking about like think about it. Like, I was fortunate enough to get cut and go back to Philadelphia, and be able to go to the Super Bowl. That is something that, even though we didn't win it, that's something that you would never be able to take away from me, and that's something that a whole lot of people can never say that they've done. But right. At the end of the day, if it all came back to it, I'm going to take that cash. I think that I'm comfortable in saying, and I understand what that means with the legacy and everything, but I think I'm going to go ahead and take that cash.
Yeah, no, and carve a different legacy, you know, outside of the game or something. I mean, your legacy isn't written in stone yet. I mean, your life isn't just dependent upon one, you know, whether or not you made a Super Bowl or not.
A football player, it is, because that's what, like I always say, John, you know, when a Super Bowl champion walk in the room, the conversation change, and that's a conversation that you really ain't a part of. So, yeah, it's a little different, but, yeah, I feel what he's saying. But, man, that money, when you look at that cash in hand, you're like, ooh, yeah. Yeah,
I just don't want anybody to think that negotiating the best possible deal is greed. I think you're just, you know, I think you're negotiating the best possible deal.
And you know what? He's talking. He's taking it from a perspective, I'm assuming, of the success that the Patriots have had, and he would have been a part of that.
Yeah,
no question.
I mean, and he assumes, by the way, but you don't know. I mean, you assume that, you know, everything would have been the same. It may.
Yeah,
not.
That's what I'm saying.
You
know, that's what I just said.
Brady gets hurt. Guess what? Maybe you don't, and maybe it's not. You know.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Who knows? You take a chance. Anytime you're in a situation like that, you're taking a chance.
I mean, you can't predict the future like that. Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How much trouble are college sports in? There's a couple of stories that are going to give you. Are we a little bit? I'm not being negative, Nancy. I'm just reporting. Okay, I'm just reporting. Okay, we'll do that in a moment. As we continue on the Morning Show with John and Hugh, after a CBS Sports Minute.
Game.
Morning Show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. As we broadcast from the Mobile Kia Studios, there is a follow to the story that we were just kind of talking about in terms of Tony Gonzalez, who was discussing earlier in the last segment, Hugh, Tom Brady's, decision that, you know, and of course, I wasn't being snarky when I said everybody should marry a supermodel, has more money than him. He had the luxury of being able to take less money because he didn't necessarily need it because his wife was making more than him.
See, now that sounds, now you're talking crazy. Tom, he don't need it. I don't understand that. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean,
always needs it.
You know, yeah, I know you always need it, but I mean,
what are you talking about?
Well, you know, she's like, hey, why don't you just get some of those cool?
Well, I mean, here? She brings. I mean, you know, you don't have to be a supermodel to have somebody that bring something to the table. She doesn't have to be a supermodel, but she it helps. I mean, y'all got ends meeting like a mofo when you do marry a supermodel.
There's a follow to that, and that is, of course, everybody talking about Patrick Mahomes, and I understand, Orin, we have. Now, I don't know, Shark Tank is a show that I am a big fan of, you know, big fan of Shark Tank. So I watch a lot of Shark Tank. And Barbara Corcoran is one of the people on Shark Tank. If you watch the show, you know who she is. My understanding, what did you say? We have Barbara Corcoran talking about Pat Mahomes and his deal. Is that what you said, Oren?
Yeah, so TMZ reached out to her. Obviously, she knows about money. She knows about investments. So they asked her, hey, Pat Mahomes has all this new money. What are some do's and don'ts that he shouldn't and should do?
The first thing you should do is put it in the bank. Not do a thing. I know, because when I sold my business, every creep came out of the woodworks with a $10,000 problem. And everybody is after your money and you can't trust anybody. Okay? It took me probably a year before I realized I could say, speak to my accountant. And then I stopped giving away the money. Okay, so he can't trust anyone and he shouldn't do a thing for a whole year. Okay, he's got to have a bad guy in front of him to say no. That could be his mother, his accountant, his attorney, but he should answer no inquiries about investing money whatsoever. Okay? The next thing I think is the most important thing is before he buys that big house and the big jet, man, I would buy a jet right away if I had that kind of money. He's got to figure out how much money he needs to live on. He's a kid, but he's going to live a lot of years. So for every $25 million he puts away, he's going to get $1 million income for the rest of his life. He should figure out, I need $1 million, I need $2 million, I need $5 million, and put that money aside. That's what he's got to do. Put it aside, tuck it away.
I mean, she's not lying. You know, it's funny. I remember vividly when I got drafted and thinking that, you know, man, I've arrived. And, you know, after, you know, taking care of my parents and everything, that signing bonus that I got was gone. I remember that. And I hadn't even played a down. And I just remembered how everybody needed money. And everybody was asking for money, like dollar amounts that you would not normally ask anybody else for. That's the thing that kind of irritated me. And knowing that people weren't going to pay you back. So it took a while. It took me a while to get to that point. But yeah, she's right. You got to learn how to tell people no. And that's the hardest thing to do, because most of the people that are going to be asking you stuff are going to be family members. Family members that you've probably broken bread with and been with your whole life, that now that they look at you, they look at you as their savior. So yeah, that's a real thing. And not only that, the toughest thing to do is to tell somebody that you've been rolling with for the longest time that you can't give them that money, because they're asking for dollar amounts that you know on God's green earth that they're not in position to pay you back, no matter how many times they say it. I mean, I've had so many different conversations where they're like, man, can I borrow 10 grand? I'm going to pay you back in a year. Man, you ain't about to pay me back. You know what I mean? Because when you give that money away, that money's gone. That money's gone. You're not getting that money back.
Right.
So, yeah, she's right. She's definitely right.
Yeah, it's got to be there. You think it's all, you know, tulips and roses and good, and it is. I mean, for the most part. I mean, but there are other sides to windfalls like this. If you hit a lot of money, and that is suddenly a lot of people with their hand out, and you know, the idea that you know, you have somebody else who, as Barbara Corcoran said, can be the sort of the bad guy, whether it's your mom or your accountant or somebody.
Oh yeah, you know? Mama be the bad. You gotta have mama the bad guy. You gotta have somebody that's going to be Coach Severs. That's going to tell them flat out, no, you can't do it. Can't do it. Impossible.
Right.
And people are going to get mad. You're probably going to lose some friends. You'll be all right. They'll be all right.
Yeah, just interesting, because you assume that, you know. And, of course, Pat Mahomes comes from a little bit of a different, you know, thing. You know, his dad did play Major League Baseball. And
yeah, they got a little bit of cheese, but they ain't got that kind of cheese.
Right.
Yeah,
you know,
they ain't got that kind of
not that kind of cheese. But dad wasn't poor. I mean, dad did play Major League Baseball for a number of years. So, you know, I mean, he did okay for himself, I'm sure. A couple of things about college sports that give you a little bit of pause. Ivy League yesterday, Hugh comes out and says, we are canceling all fall sports. They're going to move football to the spring. The difference is my daughter got a little bit, you know, I told you she works with this Van Wagner that works a marketing arm at Kennesaw State. And she said, you know, should I be concerned? And I said, no, the Ivy League is a bit of a different animal in that, you know, their football doesn't participate in the playoffs. The Ivy League, they do participate in the college basketball tournament, obviously. We've seen Harvard and Yale and Penn and all those teams in the college basketball tournament, but they don't take part in the football postseason. So it's not like the FCS is missing anything. Ivy Leagues don't play in it. So they are kind of their own standalone. But there are people out there, Hugh, saying that, you know, the Ivy League is kind of the canary in the coal mine.
The canary in the coal mine. Never heard that one before, John. That's pretty interesting. Yeah, you know, because they've already decided to cancel fall sports. I think that sports is still going to go on, John. I really do. I mean, you're talking about Ivy League's in a different situation because they're still charging full price for their tuition to go to school.
I know. Even online.
So, I mean, let's just call that what it is. I mean, you know, that Ivy League, when you got that Ivy League by your name, that still carries a lot of weight, you know, when you go anywhere. You know, so let's throw that out there so that they're in a little bit different realm when it comes to stuff like that. SEC, big five, power five conferences, I still think they're playing football.
Let's see here. The five institutions with the largest endowments are the top two are Harvard and Yale, then University of Texas, then Stanford in a moment, and then Princeton. Harvard's endowment is something north of over $40 billion.
Yeah, man, come on now. Fix it, Jesus. Come on now. You know, you're talking about, oh, well, we ain't going to play fall sports. You got that. You have that option. Because guess what? You're going to have online – you're going to have folks that are going to be online taking classes, and you're still going to be charging them like they're staying on campus. You can do that. Yeah, that, what they say, they got that Giselle money. That's what they talk about.
Stanford's athletic director, Bernard Muir, talking yesterday. Stanford, arguably the greatest college athletic program in the nation. I don't even know if it's arguable, really. Stanford has had the greatest college athletic program in the nation year after year after year after year. When we're talking about the entirety of the athletic program, they win at every single sport that they do, okay? Stanford, you know, you may not only think of football or basketball, but the baseball program is great. Golf is great. Tennis is great. Everything they do is great. And so Stanford, though, feeling the crunch, even with that endowment, the number five endowment in the world, this is their athletic director, Bernard Muir.
We made this decision only after exhausting all viable alternatives. It recently became painfully clear that we would not remain financially stable and support 36 varsity sports at a nationally competitive level, which is what we so desire. The primary alternative to this decision would have been a broad and deep reduction in support for all 36 sports. And so including eliminating scholarships, ceasing to be competitive in our efforts to attract and retain the very best coaches and staff. So that became increasingly difficult for us in this situation.
They're getting rid of 11 of their sports. They're getting rid of men's and women's fencing, field hockey, lightweight rowing, men's rowing, co-ed, and women's sailing. They have a sailing team. Squash, synchronized swimming, men's volleyball, and wrestling.
Yeah, it's going down. I'm telling you, hey, man, it's that's why I feel like the bigger schools that live and die with football, I think that they're going to play. You know, it's funny. Because of what we do, I be getting phone calls, like, from friends of mine that are, you know, diehard college sports fans. I be getting phone calls from friends of mine in Philly that got a taste of Georgia football last year. You know, came down to a Georgia game. I think it was Georgia Notre Dame. And watched that. And now that they were trying to schedule their whole time around coming back to another Georgia game. And they keep asking me, hey, you think they're going to play football this year? And I said, yeah, I think they are. Now, whether or not you're going to be able to go, that's a different question. That's a different answer that I'm giving you. But as far as I think football is going to be played, I do. But it's not going to look like you're accustomed to seeing.
Do I think the menu is going to be up next? I do, and it's going to be accustomed to what you're hearing because Dave, the producer, is standing by with three questions for us on this Thursday, appetizer, main course, and dessert. And you get to find out what those are next, as we do. Sports Radio 92 on the game. Go to the App Store. The app for radio.com is free, and you can listen 24/7, 365 to us anywhere in the world on radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.